The gospel according to St. Luke chapter 21 verses 25 through 36. Jesus said, "And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on earth distress of the nations, and confusion because of the roaring of the sea, and upheaval that takes life out of men, because of fear of what is to come on earth. And the powers of the universe will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with a large army and great glory. But when these things begin to happen, have courage, lift up your heads, because your salvation is at hand." And he said to them a parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they put forth their leaves, you immediately understand by them that summer is near. Even so, you also, when you see these things happen, know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things happen. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But take heed to yourselves, that your hearts may not become heavy by extravagance and drunkenness and worries of this world, and that day comes suddenly upon you. For like a downpour, it will entrap all those who dwell on the face of all the earth. Therefore, keep watch all the time and pray, so that you may be worthy to escape all those things which are to happen, and that you may stand before the Son of Man." Now, if you were following along in your Bibles, you might have been saying, what version is he reading out of? That's the Lamb's Bible. It's in Aramaic. And, of course, Jesus and his disciples spoke Aramaic. And so what we have in most of our Bibles is a translation of a translation or whatever. And so when it comes to the Gospels, I like reading out of the Aramaic, because there are a few things. It doesn't change any theology, but there are a few things that it really highlights and makes very, very exciting. And so anyhow, what I wanted to talk about today is that, you know, I mean, this is the Advent season, and this is the appointed gospel reading for the Advent season, and it's because that, you know, in the Advent season, we are supposed to be preparing our hearts and preparing our souls for the 2,000 year ago coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's all well and good, because that was the greatest gift ever given by anyone to anyone. And that was the gift of Jesus Christ to God's own creation. But at the same time that we are getting our lives straightened out, purging ourselves from sin and I mean, we cannot make ourselves worthy. Amen? You will be a very disappointed child of God if you think you can make yourself worthy of God's love. Because you can't. You can't. You can't make yourself worthy, because that's works. And the Bible tells us that, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not that of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And yes, as a pastor, I myself keep myself pure, so that, number one, I don't disqualify myself. That's something that most people don't understand, is that as a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can disqualify yourself from service. And you can so destroy your testimony that your witness is no longer acceptable. You have destroyed your life's purpose, because you have disqualified yourself. As a matter of fact, when you read the writings of Paul, there's only one thing that he's really concerned about. He's afraid that he will be disqualified. Amen? He's not worried about the salvation of his people in the different churches. He's not worried about going to heaven, because disqualification doesn't mean that you can't go to heaven. It simply means that your testimony has been nullified. Amen? And so that is something that as a minister of God, I want to be very, very careful about what I say and what I do, because I don't wish to disqualify myself. Does that mean that Pastor Dale has never done anything wrong? No, it doesn't mean that. As a matter of fact, when we first started this church, I stood up in front of the church and I went down and I told you every bad and evil thing that I ever did and how I asked God's forgiveness for it. And because I did not hide a skeleton in a closet, now the devil can't come along and say, oh, did you hear that years and years ago Pastor Dale did? And you say, oh, devil, that's old news. Alright? Okay, so if you hide your sin, Bible says he's going to drag it into the light. So don't you dare try to hide your sin. But here we have this, in this gospel, that Jesus is telling us that there is another coming. And it is another coming for which we must get ready. Alright? There's not a whole lot that we can do to get ready for the celebration of Christmas outside of throw up a Christmas tree and put out some, you know, pretty little things around the church or whatever. Bottom line is that Christmas already happened 2,000 years ago. Amen? You know, the real Christmas has come and gone. The best that the devil could throw at the Son of God didn't work. He came and he provided God's plan of salvation. But there is another second coming that's on its way. And that we need to be aware of. That we need to be careful about. Because it's still ahead of us. How are we going to respond? And so this is a passage picking up from last Sunday where they're looking around the Temple Mount and they're seeing all these beautiful buildings. How many of you have ever been to see the Alamo? Not the movie, the actual Alamo. I took my dad there and he was just overwhelmed by the size of those great big blocks of granite that were put into building that that mission. And of course, there's a reason for that. When you stand inside that mission, it's nice and cool in there, even in a San Antonio summer. It's still nice and cool in there. Well, the blocks that made up the temple were much bigger. And so as they're sitting there in the courtyard, one of Jesus' disciples said, Jesus, look at all of this. This is so awesome. And praise God for awesome things, something that inspires us. And Jesus looks at him and he says, that's great. You know, I'm glad that you can appreciate all the hard work that went into this. However, there's coming a time when not one stone shall stand upon another, but it shall be taken down. Alright, at that, every piece is going to come apart. And we talked about this a couple Sundays ago, where in 70 AD, when the Romans, the Jews went and tried to rebel again. And this time, Rome came down with the iron fist and destroyed Jerusalem, just sent everybody into exile and took the temple and they torched the temple. Now the temple was covered on the inside with gold. And people would come in and they would give these little sheets of gold to the priests, and the priests would take them, and with a little hammer, they would hammer them onto the face of the rock. And over hundreds of years, that gold, because those sheets of gold are just microscopically thin. I don't know if you've ever seen a sheet of gold, but over hundreds of years, now that covering of gold might be half an inch thick all over the inside of that temple. Oh, that must have been an awesome sight. Well, when the Romans fired the temple, all the gold melted. And what do you think happened to all the gold? It ran in between the rocks. And so the Romans just took the rocks down one by one and scraped the gold out from between them. And so Jesus' prophecy took place to the letter. It just wasn't that the temple got knocked down. There was not one stone left standing upon another that was not taken down. And so this is the continuation of this, because they're asking about, well, Jesus, when is this going to happen? And then Jesus goes on and he starts talking about end times. In seminary, we're talking about eschatology, the doctrine of end time events. And there are some denominations that their stated doctrinal statement on eschatology is kind of vague, and there are other denominations that, man, they've got it figured out. Okay, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, boom, it's done. Jesus is back. All right. And so there's a lot that's out there, but Jesus is saying, you need to understand, all this is going to happen. And it says there will be signs in sun, moon, and stars, and on earth distress of the nations. And I like the words that the Word of God is using here. Not that the nations are, you know, shaking their battle arms, their armaments, their spears, their swords, their shields. There is distress of the nations. There is no peace anywhere. It's a terrible time to be alive on earth. And confusion because of the roaring of the sea. And at first you read it that and you say, there's a storm going on, maybe a hurricane coming in. The sea throughout Scripture is used as an example of the Gentile nations, the Gentile peoples. And so most Bible scholars agree that we are talking about that there's this upheaval, this uproar among the Gentile nations, okay? Well, how many Gentile nations are there? All but one. Okay. Jerusalem, Israel is not a Gentile nation, but everybody else is, all right? And so here's this disruption, this roaring that's going on upon in all of the Gentile nations, and upheaval that takes life out of men. Have you ever been to the place where you are so exhausted that you can't put another foot in front of the other? That happens, doesn't it? I've seen it with my bride over here. She's going through this therapy, man. It just takes it out of you. I've seen it with different people in here as they've had different infections that they've been fighting in their arms and their legs or whatever, and that infection is just draining the life out of the body. I mean, there are things that happen that you just, you know, you are just so fatigued, and it's interesting, because of my position as a military chaplain, I get a lot of videos from different guys in different branches of the service, and it showed a video from a guy that was a SEAL candidate. Okay, he's going through the basic underwater demolition course, and so he's for those of you who know, That is a very, very difficult training program. And most people wash out of it. All right? If you can't take any more, there's a great big brass bell, and at the end of the day, if you've decided I can't take another day of this class, you go up there, ding, 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 you ring that thing 3 times, and that's called ringing out. I give up, I can't take another step. And it showed this one young man, he wasn't ringing out, but his instructor, I mean, this guy has been up for 36 straight hours. He's been doing heavy physical work, and they're saying, what's 6 times 3? And, you know, I'm watching the video. So what's 6 times 3? 18. And this poor, 6 times 3. And this guy is so fatigued, it took him several seconds to remember that 6 times 3 is 18. All right? And so, you know, when you have been so stressed that you don't think you can take another step, that's what we're seeing here. That the upheaval that takes the life out of men. Matter of fact, when we were reading Revelation, we found out that there comes a time when the people of this earth, they go and they run in the caves, and they're begging, God, let the caves collapse on us and kill us so that we will be delivered from the wrath of the Lamb. Alright? And so, you know, these are pretty horrific times because of the fear of what is to come on earth. And the powers of the universe will be shaken. What do you think we're talking about? The powers of the universe. Okay? Are we talking about the physical laws of the universe? No, this is a word that means authority, spiritual authority. And how many of you realize that God has established spiritual authority throughout His universe? Amen? I mean, He put the stars in place, and it seems to indicate that He's got an angel that is responsible for each star. And, you know, there's a lot of... So God has established spiritual authority. And there's going to be a time coming on this earth that is so terrible that even these great, big, powerful, fallen angels they're just going to be shaken to their knees. They won't know what is happening. The powers of the universe will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with a large army and great glory. Amen? Now this is, we saw the movie Home Alone, and then Home Alone Part 2, and then Home Alone Part 3, and finally, that boy grew up enough so that they couldn't do a Home Alone. I hope not, anyhow. All right. And so, we've already experienced Christmas Part 1. But there's going to be a Christmas Part 2. Amen? But this time, Jesus doesn't come as a little baby in a manger. He's not something that you can just accept or walk away from. This is going to be God Almighty staring you in the face, and you decide, that's who I serve, or you regret, that's who I didn't serve. Amen? All right, and then let me see. But when these things begin to happen, now we got to back up. Got to back up to all the... You know, the stones on the other and all that good stuff. Okay, but when these things begin to happen, have courage and lift up your heads because your salvation is at hand. And folks, I've said it several times already this morning. I thank God for His love. I thank God for His love. And that He responds to you and to me, not through justice, No, I don't need God's justice. God, that ain't fair. God says, you want fair? Just kidding. Never mind. You don't want fair. Okay? Because now we're talking justice. And if you want God's justice in your life, then right up here, behind this pulpit, is going to be a little pile of ashes. And right over in each one of your seats, there's going to be a little pile of ashes. Because if we get what we deserve, not a good thing. But praise God, He gives us His love. Amen? He gives us His love. And that's the Christmas story right there. Man is lost in sin. God has tried on many different occasions to provide a way that man can enjoy God's presence and God's forgiveness. Each time God does that, man blows it off, destroys it, desecrates it, in some way nullifies it. God says, here, Moses, you and I will work together. We'll give them 10 commandments. Moses said, 10 commandements? We can handle 10 commandments. And what do the Pharisees do is first chance they get? Turn it into 630-some-odd different commandments. See, man messes up everything he puts his hand to. Amen? And you know, that's why he says, well, Pastor, there's not a church. Yeah, that's right. There aren't any churches that are all good. Because every church that you go to has you in it. And as soon as there's a human being going to that church has problems. Now, I made the joke back when Tara and I started Mason Road Assembly of God. She was in the hospital for 58 days, and she was in a coma and all that. The kids were up in Michigan, and so I was just every day knocking on doors every day, inviting people to come to this new church that we're starting down in the roller skating rink over on the I-10 service road. Knocking on doors. People saying, oh, Pastor, that sounds great. We will be there. Lying. Bunch of people. And for weeks and weeks and weeks, I would come in and nobody would be there. Amen? Nobody would. But I tell you what I did. First Sunday that happened, I waited around, and nobody came in, and so I started putting things away, and the Spirit of God seemed to say to me, where do you think you're going? And I said, Father God, there ain't nobody here. It's just me. And so, you know, I don't need a praise and worship service. And He said, I called you to sing, you sing. Okay. So we had a wonderful, Spirit-filled worship service. It was great. Just me. And so after the worship service, I said, okay, and I started packing things up. I said, now where are you going? I said, all that's left is the message, and I already know it. And He said, nope, called you to preach, you preach. And so I preached that message. All right? Week after week after week after week, and after 6 weeks, one person darkened the doorway. One person darkened the doorway. A single elderly lady. I said, oh boy, I can grow a church with that. But every week after that, God added another family to the church. All right? And so He taught me, I do what I'm supposed to do, He does what He's supposed to do. Okay? But I'll tell you something that I found out, in that in those first 6 weeks, I didn't have any arguments in the whole church. I didn't have a single, Pastor, you got to speak to so-and-so. They ignored me. Pastor, you got to speak to so-and-so. She's talking about me. Pastor, you got to... I didn't have any of that, because it was just me. Alright? But as soon as one family starts to come, then the fun begins. Alright? So no matter where you go, people, I don't like this church because the pastor doesn't like me, he preaches at me or whatever. you're going to get the same thing no matter where you go, because it's not the preacher, it's you. And as long as you're in a church with living, breathing other human beings, there's going to be some confrontation there. Why? Because iron sharpeneth iron. And God puts us in a church so that He can use each other of us to knock the rough edges off. That's why we're here. That's why you go to church. Forsake not the gathering together of yourselves as the manner of some is. All right? We don't do that. I had one guy this morning tell me, well, I don't have to go to church. I can praise God in my own house. And I said, well, it's kind of hard to do something when you're in direct rebellion against God's Word. Well, what do you mean? The Bible says, forsake not the gathering together of yourself as the manner of some is. All right? Now, if God has called you to start a house church and start bringing families in and whatever, then all that is great, but don't tell me how close you are to God sitting on that bass boat. No, that's not it. But you see, God puts us together because iron does sharpen iron. All right? Now, this Terry and I watch How It's Made. It's one of our favorite programs. And we were watching how they make these all-in-one tools. And Leatherman is the most famous of the manufacturing. And they stamp these things out of steel. But they can't take that metal stamping and use it yet because it's got all these sharp edges on it. So they have this big, huge tumbler that's full of these little ceramic bricks. And these little ceramic bricks, they seem to be pretty smooth. But when they go ahead and they put this stamped steel in there with these bricks and they start to roll it around, then those pieces of ceramic knock the rough edges off of those blanks. And now you can take them out. You're not going to cut yourself on it. It is a perfectly smooth piece of metal. That's why God puts us in church, you see, because we've got some rough edges. All right? And He can take care of those rough edges now. Or you can take care of those rough edges in glory. All right? Now, let's just get it taken care of now. Get those taken care of. Because if He's got to take care of those rough edges in glory, then you got to wonder who He's going to put next to you in your mansion. Uh-huh. So if you've still got some rough edges that need to be knocked off, He's going to have to put an abrasive Christian next to you in your mansion. Okay? Now, how many want that? No, thank you. So let's just let Him do His thing here in the church. Amen. Because, believe me, He doesn't want that going on in glory either. Amen. Okay. So He goes on and He's talking to His disciples about the parable. When you see the tree, the fig tree, or any of the trees start to have leaves, then you know that summer is near. Even you know also that when you see these things happen, know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things happen. All right? Now, so this generation, when you see all of these things that He's talking about, it reminds us a lot of Ezekiel in the Valley of the Dry Bones, where it talks about the resurrection of the nation of Israel. Okay? Now, we know that in 70 A.D., Israel ceased to exist on earth, period. No more Israel. For how many years? Until 1948. Alright? And then Israel started to exist again. And so, it really doesn't matter what should have or could have happened during these 1948 years, nothing could have happened till Israel exists again. You agree? Okay. So now Israel exists since 1948. And this generation shall not pass until all these things happen. All right? And so that means that Jesus coming in glory, it's pretty near. Amen? So, 100 years from 1948, there's a problem with what is a generation. Okay, now, you can have kids at at 18. Alright, and so is 18 years a generation? Or is 20 years a generation? Or 25 years? Or whatever. And so there's different thoughts about it, but even if it was as far as 100 years, that only means that 2048 is not that far out there. 24, 23 years, okay? And so, myself, I'm pretty sure I'm going to be in glory by then. My wife and I will be up there along with probably all of y'all. You know, that's a long time until then. But, you know, that's this generation shall not pass away. So we need to realize that we're not going to have a second chance to do it right. That if we're going to be ready when Jesus comes back, we're going to have one chance to do it. And truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things happen. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall not pass away. In other words, he's putting his seal of approval on that passage of Scripture. Amen? So what can we do? Pastor, we're a bunch of old people in this room. What are we going to be able to do? Same thing that I've always said, let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and they glorify the Father. Amen? Let your light shine. And it doesn't have to be a great big floodlight that's shining. It can be, you know what I found out? Little lights seem to be more intriguing. I have a cat, or we have a cat, or a cat has us. Okay, something like that. Gabriel, and so we have these flashlights that you can focus the flashlight, and the flashlight on the floor will make a 10-inch by 10-inch square on the floor. And you go ahead and you shake that around on the floor, and Gabriel ignore it. That thing's big as I am. I'm not going to attack it. I'm going to leave it alone. Okay, but you take a little laser pointer, and you go ahead and shake that, that cat will turn himself inside out to get to that little red dot. He is just, it is funny. I've had him climb halfway up the wall. I'll just let him chase it across the floor, and then I'll just bring it right up the wall. And he's there just doing his best to get to that little red dot climbing up that wall. All right, sometimes it's just a little light that's going to get their attention. Why do we make our little telephone calls on Sunday morning? To those that are having birthdays. Because sometimes it's just that little bit of light that is going to get their attention. Amen? You don't know where that one little word of encouragement that you might pass on to somebody up and down this hallway. There's a guy, a young man, he's probably in his early 40s now, but he was Delta. Delta Force, which is a real elite special operating thing. And he got blown up. And he's just living each day in pain. And so he got up in the morning, and he had a service dog. And so he went and he got in the car, put the dog in the kennel, and he went to the supermarket and parked his car off to the side and rolled the windows down. And he said this is a year to the day that he'd gotten blown up, and he had spent every day of that year in excruciating pain, and there's no hope that it's going to go away. And so he's done all this so that the dog will be taken care of. Somebody's going to hear the shot and come and find the dog. Hopefully they'll find me before the birds find me. I saw that. A picture I don't need in my mind. And I said, I was reaching for my gun, and the phone rang. And it was one of the guys that he had worked with in Special Forces. And the guy says, dude, man, I haven't heard your voice in such a long time. How are you doing? And it turned the guy's life around. He's still with us today. All right. He didn't kill himself. You don't know what that phone call is going to do. You don't know where somebody, if God puts somebody on your heart, don't presume to know, or don't presume to think that you know more than God does. If God puts the guy that called, you would know his name, but he was in the 82nd Airborne. And so when the phone rang, that number came up and he recognized this guy's, you know, the phone number and everything. And he just on a whim, been thinking about you. How you doing? And he just said, man, I was just moments away, man. I was reaching for my gun. And he said, where are you at? I'll be there. See, we look at the movies and the heroes and all that stuff, but you can be the hero in God's story just by picking up a telephone and let somebody know. A nephew, a niece, you don't know what they're going through. And so, I don't have a whole lot, Pastor. That's all right. That little red laser dot has a whole lot more attraction to it than that flashlight does. Okay? It gets their attention, or it gets Gabriel's attention anyhow. And so if that's all you have is just a little tiny red dot that big, let your light so shine, and you let that light so shine. It may not be a great big light, but what you have, you let that shine. And then when God puts somebody on your heart, then drop what you are doing and call that person. You don't get in an argument with God. God knows what's going on. And he knows the person that is going to make this situation right. Amen. And he's chosen you to do that. Amen? So that's the Christian walk. Wish I could tell you that there was some big old magical thing that, you know, you go through the Bible and you say this verse three times forwards and three times backwards and all of a sudden you're going to be in the middle of God's, you know, perfect will. No, it's just letting your light so shine before men that they see your good works, or they hear that little exciting or encouraging word, whatever it is, and that glorifies the Father. Father, we thank you so much for this Christmas season.